Welcome to Season 3 of the Student Leadership Podcast. We believe you were created to make a difference. So we want to equip you to lead your generation in whatever setting you find yourself in. So whether it's your high school, middle school, college campus, or anywhere in between, we want to help you point others to Jesus. What's going on, student leaders? Welcome back to the Student Leader Podcast. I'm back with Caleb Holt.
What's up?
We decided to bring back Ryan. He was talking about confidence, humility, all that stuff. So we said, let's bring him back. Students, if you did not listen to his first leadership principle, what are you doing? You got to go back there, listen to it. Solid stuff. Great stuff. Had a good conversation as well. But Ryan, great to have you back a second time, my guy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. So last time you talked to us about Batman.
Batman.
You and Batman. Bros. Bros for life.
That's okay. Right.
So we want to do another icebreaker just so students can get to know you a little bit better. I want to know, and this is totally based on your perception, okay? So it doesn't have to be the actual best. What is one of the best compliments you have ever received and why? So it doesn't have to be like, you know, okay, you're a great dad or great. I mean, if that's it, then rock out. But what's a compliment, one of the best compliments you ever received, and why did that matter so much to you?
Oh, gosh. This is such a hard question. I wish I had time to prepare.
No. Oh, wow.
I can tell you the compliment I want to get.
Okay. Like, I want that. That's what I want. Yes, that's even better.
I don't know what. I want to be told I'm encouraging. And I feel that's like such a high compliment. I'm not a natural encourager of people. And so like that's something I really aspire to be.
Hey, Ryan.
I want to get that compliment.
I have a question. How do you think I'm doing as a podcast host?
Yeah, you're the best podcast host I have ever experienced personally.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe Ryan, the only. But,
man, I just want to say, dude, you're so encouraging.
I like how you had to like ask for a compliment to get to the encouraging thing.
Well, I
like,
just wanted to feel good. I wanted to get gassed up. Yeah, I noticed I didn't do it about Caleb. I just did it very self-serving there. Okay, good. Well, Ryan, I do think you're encouraging and you encouraged students as your last leadership principle. Hey, talk to us. It's round two. What do you got for us? Give us another leadership principle.
Yeah, just want to think about today like a definition for leadership, right? So everybody's got to define leadership. Okay. You got to figure out what you think it means. If you're a Maxwell fan, leadership is influence, you know, like kind of those things. But for me, I've come to use this kind of definition. It's just that like leaders feel what others don't. Leaders see what others can't. And leaders do what others won't.
Oh.
And I think if we kind of think about it in those terms, for me, that's given like a kind of a picture of what leadership should be.
Okay. Say it one more time. Cause some of us, we perked up when you said that. We said, okay, what are the three things?
Yeah. Leaders feel what others don't.
Okay.
See what others can't. Do what others won't.
I'm interested in the see what others can't.
Well, let's go one by one. We'll get there.
It's getting spicy. Okay. All right. Talk to us about how you came up with that. What made you think of those three things, where you got that from? Talk to us about it.
Yeah. In large part for me, kind of inspired by the story of Nehemiah in scripture. And so you might be familiar with it. Some of our listeners might be familiar with it, but you know, that when Nehemiah gets word that the walls in Jerusalem had been torn down.
Okay.
They had actually been torn down for generations. It was just the first time that he was hearing about it. And the scripture says that when he gets this news that he's devastated, right? Like he weeps and he mourns and he prays and he fasts. And so immediately like he feels something that nobody else has felt about this problem before. Right. So he's burdened. And it's that burden that kind of births his leadership, like, oh, I've got to do something about this. And so I think leaders feel, you know, what others don't. Like you're motivated by a problem.
Yes.
That maybe other people have walked by that thing for years and never felt what you now feel. And I feel like that's really like a starting point of leadership.
Man. Okay. So would you say it's closely related to empathy?
I think so. It depends on the problem, but I think it's related to empathy, that you can actually feel a burden and you can understand the implications. Cause I think in that moment, like, it's not just about the walls, right? Like, actually, yeah. Nehemiah feels something spiritual because he understands that because the walls aren't there, like the people are vulnerable and they're not protected, and that there's like no place for the hearts of God and the people anymore. Like, he sees a physical problem, but it points to a spiritual reality, and he feels it differently than other people have felt it. And so, yeah, I think when you can feel other people's problems and you're concerned that people are vulnerable and there's not a place for God in the hearts of people anymore, like, yeah, that's motivating, or at least it was for him.
Yeah. One thing that's inspiring is that you said it had been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking about is, I wonder what things are just so normal in a school. Yes,
exactly.
That we Come all on. Are just like, oh, this dude, what do you, right. you know, are you it's gonna cry about this? Like, this is, right. it's all, you know, everyone does drugs or everyone has sex or everyone, you know, right. but like, no, it should not be.
That's
and
right.
I was thinking, do I feel that about, you know, I'm a college pastor. Do I feel like that about yep. my college campus? Do I feel that mm-hmm. way? Do students feel that way about their high school or middle school? That's just a really right. interesting.
Just the way it's always been, you know? Yeah. But to think about it differently. And what if we actually, like Nehemiah, like wept and mourned yeah. and prayed and fasted and cared, and, you know, like, we're going like, oh, we've got to do something about this, you know, which is kind of brings me to that, like, second part yeah. of the definition of, like, leaders see what others can't, you know, like he had a vision for what could be rebuilt, and nobody else thought it was possible. You know, nobody else thought there was a way forward. And, you know, he was, yeah. So I think part of leadership is vision. Part of leadership is being able to see something that is not yet, and be able to point to people to the possibility of, like, this can be reality. Like, things can actually change, you know? So yeah, if it's like, man, you want to see your school come to Christ, like, actually being able to see and have faith for what God wants to do in your friends, you know, and in your peers, that, like, maybe nobody else has thought that's been possible before, or really having a vision for God to do that, or whatever it is that the Lord burdens you for, you know, like, if it's a more global issue of, like, adoption or, you know,
yeah.
Human trafficking or poverty or, you know, food scarcity or any of those things. It's like, man, when you get burdened for that and you feel it spiritually and you're going, no, we got to do something about this. Part of leadership is being able to see what other people can't see.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that vision is a thing? You either have it or you don't. Cause, like, what if I don't have the vision? I mean, you know, what yeah. if I'm one of the people that are like, oh, there's the rubble again, like same yeah. old, same old, or is that a skill that you can learn?
Yeah. I think it's both. I think sometimes the Lord gives you a vision and it's like, oh, I know this is my task, my responsibility. Like, let's go. So I think the Lord does give vision. But I don't think it's something that, like, you either have it or you don't, you know? Okay. And I think even great leaders, like, man, you surround yourself with people who do things better than you do, you know? So yeah. you go, like, even for you guys, like, if there was something for you, Caleb, that you're like, man, I'm burdened by this. Like, yeah. you're going like, Jordan, what are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. Like, one person can have burden and another person can have vision. And it's like, man, in that collective, the weight of what we feel, we want to do something about it. The Lord can use even that. So I think, man, if you've got the burden for mm-hmm. something, you're a leader. Like yes. that's where it starts, you know? But then either the Lord will give you a vision, or, you know, you surround yourself with people who maybe see differently than you do. And
yeah.
so it depends on the complexity of the problem, but I think there's a lot of things you can do to get vision.
All right. So we're feeling, now we're seeing. What's the yeah. third part again?
Leaders do what others won't, you know, like, it's just, you got to do something. Like, you got to, leadership at some point is about action, you know? And I think there's a lot of people who feel all the problems, you know, like, you ever been around somebody who, like, they could point out all the problems, like, they know oh, everything. Yeah. Oh, it's like so yeah. easy to see, you know, and there's a lot of, like, people who can see the problem. I do think it's another thing to, like, feel it spiritually and be burdened for it. However, like, a lot of times it just people don't want to do anything about it, you know? So leadership comes down to action. So it's not just a feeling. It's not just a vision. It's like, no, you got to actually do something about it. So, you know, in the example of Nehemiah, like, man, he goes to the king and he's like, we got to do something about this. He's like recruiting resources. Mm-hmm. He's raising money. He's asking for permission, you know? And then he literally, like, one of my favorite parts of the scripture is like, there's an entire chapter in the book of Nehemiah that just lists all the different people that he recruited and what their jobs are, you know, like, because he builds the team. Right. And so like, that's part of what it means to be a leader is like, I'm actually going to do something about this. And, you know, the steps that you have to take might be different than the ones that he did, but there's some value in just going like, man, I'm going to get the resources. I'm going to build the team. There's not a lot that we can accomplish if we take some of those steps. So, yeah, again, like I know a lot of people can point out problems, but like, I'm looking for people who want to do something about it.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we see in our culture a lot with young people today is kind of being critical and calling out problems,
Yeah.
Whether it's like power dynamics or organizations or government or culture or injustices and things that are going on. But they're not always offering solutions, right? They're probably just calling out problems and being critics. And I think we might have some students listening today who hear these three principles and they're saying, okay, I'm really motivated. I want to do this, right? But how would you suggest, Ryan, that a student go about this and not just go around looking for problems at their school, looking for problems in their youth pastor's ministry or in their youth group or something like that, because then they can come across as really, really critical and just being judgmental. What's the right attitude for a student to start to walk out these principles and live this out in their leadership journey?
Yeah. So I think when you're critical, you're like, oh, here's your problem, right? Like you point out where things are broken or flawed or like, here's your problem. To be burdened is like, oh man, this is my problem. So I do think it starts with the way that you feel it. You know, it's not that the Lord's going to use you to point out a bunch of problems. You know, it's actually like, there's probably just one thing, like the Lord's going to make you feel one thing and you're going to go like, that's not your problem. That's my problem. And so I think that perspective in the beginning is like, you have to start there. And then I think like with Nehemiah, again, as the example, like he could have spent a ton of time, like figuring out whose fault it was and why the walls came down and what led to the, and all that.
Oh, those that is are so important. True. I never thought but of it just that
like,
way.
He's like, I'm going to be a builder. I'm just going to build. I'm going to take what is, I'm going to make it better than it is right now. And I'm going to build. So I think if you just kind of make the decision of like, I'm going to be a builder, like I'm going to add value. I'm not going to tear down, like has already happened. You know, I'm going to build, I'm going to add value, I'm going to invest. And I think if you have that perspective and you're going, this is my problem, you know, and you may not have the solution, but you're going, I want to be a part of the solution. It's different. I tend, this is probably a fault of mine as a leader, I tend to not even listen to people who only bring problems. But
I think
you've
that sounds about right.
If you've got solutions, like, man, let's talk. Cause I want to partner with people who are want to build something. You're right. Like culturally, we just live in a time where everybody's critical of everything.
Oh yeah.
And
problem
everybody's
identifiers.
Quick to point it. Oh goodness. But I want to be a builder and I want to align myself with builders and I want to make a difference. And the cool thing about the story is like, man, what should have taken them years, like in 52 days, the Lord uses them to rebuild it in 52 days because a leader felt something that nobody else felt, saw something nobody else could see and was willing to do something that up until that point, nobody else could do. So what is the Lord able to do through you? You know, like if in 52 days, or
come
you
on.
Think it might take generations or decades and change years to change your school, but like, man, give them 52 days. I don't know. The Lord can do a lot in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get really practical here for students who are listening. So say there's a student and they have a burden on them specifically for like this particular group in their school or their ministry or their family or friend or something like that.
Yeah.
How should they come to their leader or youth pastor? What are the things they should say? What is the attitude that they should have? Because they want to help fix this problem, right? They saw it, they felt it. Now they want to do something about it, but maybe they're like, okay, I don't know where to start. How should they come to their leader and Yeah.
Exactly like you just phrased it. Yes. You know, it's like, hey, I am feeling this and I don't know what to do with it. I think is the perfect place to start. And I think as students are like brave enough to have that conversation, at least in my experience, what you start to find is people are like, no, me too. Like, yes. I feel that too. Like, and I think the Lord uses that, those conversations to like put you in relationship with people who are going to be a part of the solution with you. So I think you just start talking about it, you know, and you're like, am I the only one, you know, it's questions like that. Like, am I the only one who feels this way? Or, you know, doesn't it spike? Or, you know, I've got this feeling. I don't know what to do with it. I think if any student ever approached me and used that word burden, like I really feel like the Lord has burdened me for, I don't care what it is. I'm like, yeah. I'm in, like, I may not have that burden. But I'm like, man, if you've heard from the Lord and you feel this and you're taking this seriously, I'm with you. Let's figure it out. Cause I can think of a couple of things over the years, like that maybe I just haven't been as burdened for as some of our students have been burdened for. But I'm like, yes, we're going to do that. Like, because the Lord didn't tell me, he told you. So
Ryan,
I think if you have those conversations with your leaders, you know.
I was going to ask, what is an example of maybe some things that students have been burdened for that has, you know, changed the trajectory of either their lives, their friends' lives, or maybe even just the youth ministry?
Yeah. Man, we've had kids just really burdened that every single student that wants a Bible would have a Bible. That seems like a small thing, but they got really burdened for like, man, we want to make sure that anybody who wants a Bible has access to a Bible. So, I mean, they were going to thrift stores on the weekends, buying Bibles, asking for Bible donations. They were getting people in the church to donate Bibles. Like, you know, they actually tried in one summer, like we're going like, man, we're going to make sure that every homeless person in our city gets a copy of God's Word. And so like some things like that, I'm not saying I wasn't burdened for those things, but like that was a really specific thing. You know, students who've been like uniquely burdened for human trafficking, you know, who start like school clubs around just that plight and raising awareness, but then also specifically raising funds. So like massive yard sales just to raise funds and donate to, you know, ministries that help people, you know, rescued from human trafficking or things like that. So those are a few that come to mind, but I think about, you know, like, yeah, a couple of like football captains who are like, man, I'm just not okay with the way that my team is, or the way that like, I'm not okay with these guys that I'm on the field with every day and they don't know the Lord. Like, you just, you know, getting a burden for evangelism or, And so things like that are some things that come to mind. But what I love about the Lord is like, everyone can be uniquely burdened, you know, like it doesn't have to fall into the same two or three categories. You know, it's like, no, actually there's a lot of things that the Lord might cause you to feel that others don't seem to notice. Like, they walk by that every single day and they've never thought it was a problem, but you walk by and you go, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, this ought to be different. Anytime you think that, it's like, oh yeah, like let's pursue that. Let's figure out what that means. So,
yeah. What's an obstacle to that you have seen students, and if you don't remember this, Ryan oversees, you know, from children's all the way up through college ministry. So you've got a whole gamut of experience you can recall on. What's a hindrance you see to students living like Nehemiah in this story?
Yeah. I think sometimes not seeing quick results, it can be a big obstacle. Cause you like,
I like that.
You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, and then like your first event, like
it's work.
Two people show up. Yeah. Yes. It's like, you know, cause if the Lord called you to it, he called you to it. It might take you, you know, 52 days. It might take you like 30 years. I think if it had taken Nehemiah decades, he would have given his life to that work, right? And so while the Lord can do it quickly, I think sometimes people get discouraged because it doesn't seem to be happening soon enough. I'm thinking about one kid who started a prayer group at his school. And like for as long as I don't even remember the time frame, but it was literally like 6 months, maybe even been an entire school year. It was like him sometimes by himself, or maybe two people showing up to like, we're just going to pray for our campus every day. But like, in just being faithful and being diligent and like not backing down, man, like the next school year, I mean, like dozens of kids coming out to pray for their school. And if he hadn't like been, if he had given up too early, man, like he would have missed out on a lot. So I think that's one obstacle, is like sometimes it takes time.
No, that's so, that's probably my weakness on this too. It's like, oh yeah, I like give up way too early. Ryan, so good and so much to unpack there. Hey, if students wanted to connect with you, they were inspired by, you know, something you said, what's a way they could reach out to you?
Instagram's probably the easiest way. I'm on there. So just Ryan McDermott. It's R-Y-A-N. All one word. Yeah. I'm not going to spell it for you, but I'm on there. So
cool. We'll link that in the show notes so students can find that nice and easy. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, just sharing such an awesome principle. We, again, will have a lot to break down on the overtime episode because that's some solid stuff. Students, thanks so much for listening. You are called to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others. We'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much.